So today we'll be doing part two of the mini-series, Growing in Intimacy. Last week, Ben taught us that intimacy came with a price and how we should respond to it. Today I'll be sharing about the practical aspect of how we can grow in intimacy with God. And I'll start by showing you guys something. I actually brought something up. Can you all see? You know it's on the slide. What, do you know what this is? What? Yes, it's a lamp, an oil lamp, right? And what is an oil lamp designed for? Light. I hear light. Anything else? Okay, correct. An oil lamp is designed to be a source of light. It is a potential to be a light. But if we don't do anything to it, if we don't do anything about it, it's just going to remain as an oil lamp and nothing more, correct? Yes. Yeah, it's just going to be like an ornament or a decoration that you place at home. And recently, God has been speaking to me about the word potential. I always like to tell people that our Kuz youth, they have a lot of potential, and I really believe in that. But one day, God decided to change my perspective of the word potential. Let's look at a matchstick. A matchstick has a potential to be a what? To be a fire, correct. A matchstick has a potential to be a fire. And all that potential is clustered at that tip, right? But unless it is struck against a matchbox, unless it meets with resistance to generate heat, it will be nothing more than a skinny piece of wood with a very fat head, right? And God was telling me, stop focusing on potential itself. Yes, there is potential, but so what? Potential in itself is just potential. You have to do something about it. Translate the possibility into reality. Okay, let's try one more. What is this that you see? No, that's not me. I'm not so curvy. Maybe I am. Hey, that is a picture of a man, right? And what potential does man have? Anyone knows? What? Play soccer. Yes, I can play soccer. Anyway, tomorrow, Sunday, 6 p.m, who want to play soccer can come and look for us. Okay, man is designed by God for intimacy. Intimacy not just with each other, but intimacy with God. We were designed to share in that depth of relationship with Him. We have that potential to grow close to Him and to go deep with our Father. But just like the oil lamp, just like the matchstick, the potential itself doesn't mean anything unless we do something about it. We need to translate that possibility of being in an intimate relationship with God into a reality. And how many of you want that to be a reality for your life? All right, I see many hands. That's good. Today I'll be using 3 R's and an oil lamp to touch on how we can do that, to grow in intimacy with God. And the title of my sermon will be Keep Me Burning. Burning, burning. You guys get it? Okay? And the first R that I'm going to be talking about would be refine. Is it up there? Refine. In the book of Exodus, God instructed the Israelites to build Him a tabernacle so that He can dwell among them. It's like a house so that God can stay among the Israelites. And there's the picture of a tabernacle there. And in that tabernacle, there were many sacred items, and one of them was a lamp, a lampstand. Okay, you can click one more time, and you get to see the lampstand. And on that lampstand, there are 7 oil lamps. It holds 7 oil lamps. And this is what God instructed Moses regarding the lamps in Exodus 27:20. Command the people of Israel to bring you pure oil of pressed olives for the light, to keep the lamp burning continually. The word that I want to highlight from this verse today would be the word pure. Everyone say pure. We all know that the oil is needed for the lamp to be burning, right? I mean, that's why it's called an oil lamp. And in this case, God is instructing Moses that he has to use only pure oil from pressed olives to keep these lamps burning. I did my research and found out there are two types of oil that comes out from a single olive. The first few drops that come out when you first press an olive is the pure oil that God was referring to. The first few drops. It's so precious that some people call it liquid gold. And when you further press the olive a second time, more oil will come out. But that oil is less pure and is used for common purposes such as cooking in the kitchen. So God is asking for that pure oil, the first few drops that come out from the olive. So from this passage, we can understand that God seeks a standard of purity. Not any kind of oil that is dirty and contaminated like those KFC oil. Have you all seen the oil that they use for KFC? Like it's just left there, black and dirty. God doesn't want that kind of oil. But God wants oil that is pure, uncontaminated, and unadulterated. Or to put it differently, God wants oil that is set apart. Oil that is consecrated just for Him. No one else, but just for Him. Today, if your life were the oil that you bring before God, would it be pure and set apart for Him? Or would there be contaminants? Contaminants in the form of distractions. In the parable of the sower, we hear that the third bunch of seeds, they sprouted, they became a plant, but they eventually died because they were choked. Choked by what, you may ask? The Bible says that they were choked by the cares of this world. They were choked by the desire for other things. They were choked by distractions. Are there distractions in your life today that are choking your spiritual life and hindering you from coming holy before God to experience, to be in an intimate relationship with Him? Sometimes you already know what these things are. Computer games, YouTube, Netflix, studies, money, work, relationships, BGR, so on. We know what they are, but we find it difficult to lay down. We hold on to them. These things in themselves, they are not bad. But if they take the place of God in your life, if they hinder you, they hold you back from coming before God and to be in a relationship with Him, something has to be done. God desires for us to remove these distractions, to turn away from them, to turn away from them. Not because He's a sadistic God that wants to remove the things that we enjoy in life, but because He wants to be in a proper relationship with us. I use the word proper because He actually wants to spend quality time with us, not just chin chai anyhow or say a prayer and that's it. But He wants to be in a proper relationship with us where we get to know Him and He gets to know us. They say that intimacy only has room for two. And I think that is pretty apt here. God is a jealous God and He does not welcome third parties. He wants us to turn away from those things that are hindering you from coming to Him. He wants you to turn away from them so that you can approach Him, so that you can be in His presence. You know, when you come before Him at the altar and you lay down these things, God doesn't focus on the sacrifices. Psalms 51 says that God does not delight in sacrifices, but He focuses on you. He takes delight in you coming before Him, in you approaching Him. What He wants is you and for you to want Him. That is the basis of a relationship, correct? That is the kind and the depth of relationship that He desires for us to have with Him. The act of refining is to remove impurities and unwanted or unnecessary elements from a substance. Are there anything that you need to refine out of your life today? Things that you need to actively turn away from. I use the word actively not because you just turn away from it one time and it's done. But sometimes you need to actively always make the conscious choice to turn away, to turn away, to turn away. Are there things that you need to turn away from such that you may come into intimacy with your Father, that you, your life may be unto Him an oil that is set apart, that is consecrated? Hebrews 12 says, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. Let us throw off everything. Everything that hinders you from coming before Him. Everything that hinders you from running into His presence. Running into an intimate relationship with Him. So which oil do you want to be today? KFC oil? Or oil that is pure and set apart for the Father? And God's heart behind this first point, refine. God's heartbeat is saying, pick me. Pick me, children, pick me. The second R that I'm going to talk about today would be refuel. Exodus 27 verse 20 and 21 says, Aaron and his sons must keep the lamps burning in the Lord's presence all night, and also to keep the lamps burning continually. So as the fire burns in an oil lamp, the oil will be used up. And when the oil is used up, the fire will die off, right? So to prevent that from happening, you have to always be there to refuel the oil. And in this case, Aaron and his sons were the ones that were tasked, instructed by God, say, you guys will be the ones to watch over the lamps and ensure that the fire keeps burning continually. So they have to be there to keep refilling the oil. So this scene brings across two important points that I would like to highlight. Consistency and intentionality. Maintaining our relationship with God is like maintaining that flame in the lamp. It doesn't matter how big your fire is at the start if you cannot keep it going. Our relationship with God isn't supposed to be a seasonal affair where one point of time, oh, we're so on fire for God. Yes, God, I'll live for you. I can do anything for you. And then at the next moment, sian already. Your fire extinguished. Oh, no lah. I don't want to follow God lah. No lah. It's too difficult to follow God. I mean, this is the camp syndrome, right? I mean, no offense to the JPI camp people, but normally after you finish a church camp, oh, all hyped up, all powerful. God, I can do anything for you. God, I will live for you. And then 1 week later, 2 weeks later, you go back to school, you go back to the normalcy of life, and you'll be like, oh, school, study, sorry God, I got no time for you. But that is not how a relationship with God is supposed to be. Instead, it's supposed to be an ongoing process, a journey, just like any other relationship. And I learned along my way that being in a relationship with God isn't also reaching a certain point and you feel that you're finally good enough. Wow, reached that point already. Good, I'm good enough. But it is a process. It is a journey of walking with God for eternity. We need to learn to be a consistent flame instead of a flickering one that dies out and come back, dies up and come back, to be consistent. And how do we do that? By reflecting on our walk with Him now and then, and being intentional in making the necessary adjustments. It's like how Aaron and his sons, they have to keep going to the lamps and check, oh, enough oil, not enough oil. Well, imagine if the fire die off, maybe God would just strike them down because it's His instruction, right? Keep the fire burning continually. So they have to always be very careful to go back and check. If there's enough oil in the lamp, if there's not enough, I will top up. I will need to top up. And that is how our relationship with Him is supposed to be. To evaluate our walk with Him now and then and ask ourselves, am I spending enough time with Him? Because if oil is what keeps the lamp burning, time spent with God will be what keeps our relationship with Him alive. So growing in intimacy with God isn't going to be some airy, fairy emotion where you suddenly feel, oh, I'm so close to God, yay. It's not going to be like that. But it involves being intentional in spending time with Him, getting to know Him. It's not going to be a miracle thing that, oh yes, I'm close to God, but you have to be intentional. They say that intimacy is where you are known by someone, and at the same time, you know that person. Intimacy involves knowing, and it's two-way. God already knows you, but do you know Him? It's really just like any other relationship, like me and my girlfriend. I just started working in church recently, and there are many things to do. So whenever you see Pastor Tina, you know she's actually a very busy woman. When you see Pastor Sam, they're all actually very busy people, and finally got to find out the hard way. Okay, maybe not the hard way. But yes, many things to do. And I packed up my schedule in the first 2 weeks, and I neglected my girlfriend. Okay, but maybe we don't put inverted commas, later she's called me. I actually neglected my girlfriend. And I can easily find excuses and say that, oh, work is important, I'm just too busy, I'm very tired after work every day. But the fact that remains is that I was not intentional enough to set aside time for her so that we can spend time together, so that we can go and watch Black Panther, so that we can build our relationship. Same goes for God. Somehow, I don't know why, somehow there will always be a good enough excuse to do something else rather than spending time with God. Why? The truth is that we value other things more than we value Him. We value our entertainment, we value our CCA, our studies, our friends, our relationships more than we value God. If we truly value God beyond paying lip service, we will place Him in the center above all things and be intentional in spending time with Him, spending time to get to know Him. Today, is God getting the best portion of your time? Or is He getting just the leftovers, if there's any leftovers at all? You guys know what is one thing that everyone has fairly, whether you're poor or rich, fat or skinny, boy or girl? Time. Yes, correct. That is time. We are all given 24 hours a day, and we have the power to choose what we do with that time. Today, I would like to tell you that the resource, the basic resource used to build relationship is time. Talking on the phone takes time. Going out on a date takes time. Doing quiet time, in the word itself, right, takes time. Reading God's word takes time. Are we intentional in setting aside time for God to get to know Him more and to grow in intimacy with Him? Sometimes it's not just setting aside time, but learning to protect it as well. Because society out there, everything, there are so many things that are always demanding our attention and our time. And Francis Chan says, in the quote up there, our lack of intimacy with Jesus is often due to our refusal to unplug and to shut off communication from others so that we can be alone with Him. Are you willing to do that so that you can be alone with God, so that He can have that time spent with you? So if oil is what keeps the lamp burning, time spent with God is what keeps your relationship with Him alive. Today, evaluate the amount of oil left in your lamp. Have you been spending time with Him? If it is lacking, be intentional in refilling. Set aside time to spend with Him, time to know Him, or even time to just be in His presence. The act of refilling is to intentionally turn to Him and to pursue Him with your time. So don't let your flame flicker, but keep it consistent. And God's heart in this point, God's heart for you guys is that I long to have some time with you. God yearns to have some time with His children, with His sons and daughters. That is the heart of the Father. And the last R that I'm going to talk about today would be remain, like the cat remaining in the sunlight, all comfortable. I couldn't find another picture that speaks of the word remain. So let's look at two parts of an oil lamp. There is the wick. The wick is that rope thingy, okay, a wick. And the reservoir that holds the oil. For the wick to be able to catch fire, it has to come into contact with the oil. The wick has to remain in the oil, allowing the oil to soak all the way up to the tip, so that when you ignite the flame at the tip, because there's oil, it will light up. So it has to remain in the oil. It's not like you take the wick deep in, deep out, it won't soak up to the top. You have to let it remain inside. It's just like the Chinese character, oil, you. Okay, the right side looks like an oil lamp, right? Inspired by God. So the right side looks like an oil lamp with the wick going all the way down. Can y'all click one more time? Yes, with the wick going all the way down, submersing into the lamp and soaking up the oil. The wick has to remain in the oil. Likewise for us, if we want to grow in intimacy with God, we have to come into close proximity with Him. We have to submerge ourselves in His presence and learn to remain in it, to stay in it. So what does it mean or look like to remain in His presence? We look at two examples today. In Exodus 33:11, it says, inside the tent of meeting, the Lord would speak to Moses face to face as one speaks to a friend. Afterward, Moses would return to the camp, but the young man who assisted him, Joshua, son of Nun, would remain behind in the tent of meeting. So in Moses' time, God's presence would dwell in this place called the tent of meeting. Like the picture you saw just now, the tabernacle is also known as the tent of meeting, where Moses would enter and spend time conversing and talking to God. The verse tells us that even after Moses had left, the young man that assisted Moses, Joshua, did not leave. Instead, he remained in the tent. No one ordered him or forced him to stay, but he did so out of a desire to be in the presence of God. Joshua didn't go, "Wah, shiok lah, finally can chow already." Or just like some of us will go, "Wah, yeah, service over, finally can go Anchor Point, IKEA and have dinner." But Joshua lingered on. And do you know what does it mean to linger? It means to stay longer than necessary because of a reluctance to leave. Joshua's lingering was an expression of his heart's cry for more. He, as a young boy, tasted the joy and the sweetness of being in God's presence, and he refused to leave because he wanted more. He's actually telling God through his actions, "This is not enough. I want more of you." It's like the cry of the psalmist that wrote, "My soul yearns and even faints for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cries out for the living God." But what does it look like for us today? Do we have that desire to be in and to remain in the presence of God? Or must we be persuaded and pushed by our leaders to do so? Hey, don't forget to read your Bible. Don't forget to do your quiet time. Don't forget to eat this book. It's as if coming to God has become a chore or an inconvenience to our lives. I pray today that we will never view coming to God as a privilege, because it is not a chore, it is not an obligation, but it is actually a privilege, and it was one that came at a very high cost. May we never forget that our ability to simply come into the presence of God came at the price of Jesus' life. It came out of God's overwhelming love for us. For God so loved the world. For God so desired to be close to his children that he sent his one and only son, Jesus Christ, to die for us, that we may draw near to him, so that we may enter into his presence, so that we can remain in his presence for eternity. Intimacy is fueled by the belief that the person you long to be with longs to be with you as much as you long to be with them. God longs to be with us. But do we long to be with him? Does your life reflect that longing, that same longing that God has to be with you? Does it reflect a reluctance to leave God's presence? Or does it actually reflect a reluctance to be inside his presence? The second person I want us to look at quickly today will give us a different perspective of remaining in his presence. And his name is Brother Lawrence. He wrote a book called The Practice of the Presence of God, which was published in 1693. 1693 and not 1963. He's a very, very old guy. I won't go into the details of his life, but as his title tells us, he is a monk. So the brother in his name is not like the bro kind of brother, but the monk kind of brother. And he was assigned to the kitchen in the monastery that he was living in. And Brother Lawrence was someone who believed in this thing called 24/7 God consciousness, being aware and in the presence of God every moment of the day. It's not only during your quiet time in your private room where you're on the floor kneeling down, talking to God where you are in his presence, but he firmly believed that God's presence is not confined to a place, is not confined to an activity, or it's not confined to a day, but God's presence is actually everywhere, in every day and in everything. So as monks, they have fixed times for prayer, and Brother Lawrence said that he doesn't need to wait for those fixed times of prayer to be in God's presence. He can be in the kitchen doing his chores, and he can also feel like he is in the presence of God. And I was reading Psalms 139 recently, and God spoke to me through verse 16, which says, "All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be." God then asked me, "Do you think I will ordain a single day of your life without me being a part of it? Do you guys think that God will plan a single day of your life without him being a part of it? Yes or no?" No, right? Every day he wants to be a part of your life. He wants to be involved in your life. And after God asked me that question, I realized I came to an enlightenment, and then I started to look for God every day in my life. "God, today where are you? Today where are you in my life? I'm looking out for Him intentionally and being conscious of His presence that surrounds me. And that was what Brother Lawrence did too. He said that he can do the smallest of things for God, for as an act of worship to Him, just by being consciously aware that God is with me, and the smallest of actions that I do in my daily life, I want to use it to worship Him, to love Him. So he said he can turn a piece of cake that is frying on the pan out of love for God. It's like a roti prata, you can flip it out of love for God. It's not like a mundane thing that you do, but I will do it in love for God. He can pick up a straw from the ground out of love for God. And they say that with that mindset and attitude, God and Brother Lawrence, they cook meals together, they ran errands together, they scrub pots together, and they endured the scorn of the world together. He and God, they did everything together. So I was so inspired, right, that I tried to practice this in my life. So nowadays, you know, there's a lot of old bikes and old bikes around, right? So every time when I see one that is fallen on the ground, right, I tell, in my heart, I know God, you're next to me. I want to do this as an act of worship and love for you, and I'm going to pick up the old bike. So next time you see this weird guy picking up bikes all over, I'm doing it for God, okay? And I will also wait, when I wake up, I will pack my bed nicely. I don't have to do it, but I pack my bed because I wanted my life to be an act of worship, an expression of love and worship to God. And it's in these small things where you can bring in the presence of God, where you can love Him and worship Him. However, Brother Lawrence said that he admitted that this path to a perfect union with God didn't come easy. He had to be very intentional in disciplining his head, his mind, and his heart to be aware of God's presence. And whenever he finds his mind wandering away, he will catch it and bring it back, and he will center himself on God again. So it's like in school, on the way to school, on the MRT, instead of doing other things, you can just center yourself on God and say, "Today, God, where are you? Today, I want to live for you." And then when you go to school, even in doing a math equation, which I'm really bad at, you guys can also say, "God, I want to solve this math equation for you, to worship you." So to grow in intimacy, there is that element of being in the other person's presence, being close to them on a regular basis. There needs to be a level of proximity, closeness, and a level of frequency, regularity of coming together. And Joshua's life reflected that level of proximity. He lingered on, wanting to dwell in the presence of God. He was constantly yearning for more, reluctant to leave or be separated from God. And Brother Lawrence's life reflected that level of frequency, teaching us that we don't have to be in a secret place or time doing a holy thing to be in God's presence to worship Him. But it is in our everyday, it is in everything and everywhere that God can be, we can be in God's presence, that we can live every day with Him and for Him, instead of being separated from Him. Today, may we have that yearning to be close to God and to desire to remain in His presence every single day and in every single thing. And God's heart for the point of remain is to say to us, "You are meant to be by my side. You belong here by my side. So come." So to recap, what are three R's? The first one is refine, to sieve away unwanted and unnecessary things in our lives. It involves a turning away from these things. The second point is refill, to be intentional in spending time with God, getting to know Him more and to maintain a consistent relationship. It involves a turning towards God. And the third R is remain, to yearn for His presence and to live every moment with Him and for Him. It involves a desire to remain in His presence, to turn to Him, to pursue Him, and to stay, to remain in His presence. So right now, I have a personal story to share on how I learned about these three R's in my life. So I love computer games a lot. You know, whatever you name it, Dota 2, CSGO, PUBG. I'm sorry if the girls don't know what I'm talking about, but the guys should know. And with most of my time spent on games, I had no time to do other things like hanging out with my friends or spending time with God. Okay, maybe there was time, but I just didn't want to do that with them. I just wanted to play games. And the worst part is how my brain becomes so become so, what's that word? Become so used to the stimulation of the games, like, you know, wow, the adrenaline and all that. And when I come to hang out with my friends, I cannot be fully present with them because my mind is just thinking about the games, shooting people and all that. Or when I try to do quiet time with God, my mind is always thinking games. And I cannot be able to sit down quietly in God's presence. And deep down within me, because I was brought up in Coos, I knew I wanted to be close to God. So I tried to quit. I tried to refine and sieve out this distraction of games in my life. I tried to turn away from it many, many times. I deleted Steam account, but I re-downloaded it. I tell myself, oh, you guys know what Steam, okay. I tell myself, I don't need to quit altogether. I can just learn self-control. I got my girlfriend to change my password. And then the next moment, I'm begging her, hey, give me back password, please. I want to play. I gave my brother my graphics card. And the next moment, I'm in Sim Lim Square buying a new graphics card. I unplugged my headphones and kept it in the cupboard. And then I take it out and plug in and I play again. Whatever I did, I always found myself going back to games. And I then realized it wasn't so much about turning away from games. What mattered more and what was lacking was the act of turning to God. I could turn away from games all I want. And I could simply turn to something else, another form of entertainment, Netflix, YouTube, social media. But it doesn't matter unless I turn away and I turn to God to pursue Him. The greater the action that I needed to take to fill that void was to turn to God, to refill, to intentionally spend time with Him. And it's then I decided to fast from games altogether and use that time I normally would to spend time with God. Started with journaling, to reading one psalm a day, to intentionally seeking God and involving Him in my daily life. And I have to say that lifestyle was so uplifting. I really got to encounter God so often, even in the small things like what to buy for my friend's birthday. It became a miracle. It was a whole story altogether in it. I tasted the sweetness and intimacy of living with God, and I yearned to be there every day. I realized that God isn't hiding. We are the ones who aren't looking. Imagine if we were all to intentionally seek God daily, our cell group icebreaker would no longer be share one thing interesting about your week. But it will be share one encounter that you had with God this week. And encountering God shouldn't be the extraordinary, but it should be the ordinary. It doesn't have to be in the big miraculous things where we encounter God, but it's in the small, the common, the daily things, as simple as, oh, today I feel like buying a pandan cake to bless my grandma. You do that. That is God in it. That's God's love in it. That's God's presence in it. Can I just invite the worship team to come up now? So the point of my story is that as much as refining and turning away from distractions is important, doing it by itself will not build our intimacy with God. We also have to refill, which is to intentionally turn to God. They say that 1,000 no's, is up on the slide, they say that 1,000 no's will not mean a thing without that 1 yes to God. You can say no, 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 no to all the distractions, to all the hindrances out there. But it doesn't mean a thing unless you take that step of turning to God and saying, yes, God, I pursue you. Yes, God, I want to come into your presence. And when you enter into that presence, to remain there. So it's not about how many no's you can say, but it's whether we are willing to say that one yes to God. So I'm going to end now. Can we all just stand up? I believe that deep down many of you here have that desire to be close to God, to be in an intimate relationship with Him. Today I'm telling you that you have that potential as a son, as a daughter of God, to be in that intimate relationship with a father. You have that potential. But I also want to challenge you to act on that potential, to do something about it instead of just recognizing it. Make that possibility of being in an intimate relationship with the Father a reality. Let's all just close our eyes, and I'm going to ask a few questions. If it's you, you can just raise up your hand. How many of you here today have that desire to be in an intimate relationship with God? You can just raise up your hand. How many of you know that there are things in your life today that you need to refine, to turn away from? You can raise up your hand. Today God is saying to you, pick me, son. Pick me, my daughter, above all other things. Pick me. How many of you know that you need to do some refilling and spend more time with God to turn to Him? You can raise up your hand. Today God is saying to you, I long to have some time with you as well, more than you know. I have been longing, I have been waiting. How many of you have that yearning to taste the sweetness of being in God's presence and to remain there every day? You can raise up your hand. Today God is saying to you, you belong here right by my side. Not just in heaven, but even right now on earth, you belong by my side. In that intimacy, every day, in everything. That is the heart of the Father. And today, whether you choose to refine, to refuel, or to remain, you know that it is a response to God who has already initiated. Your Father has already initiated. And whatever you choose to do is just a response to His overwhelming love. The worship team shared just now, Revelation 3:20. Jesus says, here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and comes to open the door, I will come in and eat with that person. And they with me. It's about turning away. It's about turning to God. Opening the door. He is waiting behind that door. Just like in Songs of Solomon. He is waiting behind the door today, knocking. And if you would hear, if you would respond, if you would open that door, He would come in. He would gladly come in. Because He's been waiting for so long. To just sit down and have a meal with you and you with Him. We sang Reckless Love just now. It's a new song. So much emotions behind it. To understand God's love. But today, will you respond to His love? You know that I don't know, the breach that says there's no shadow and all, showing how God is pursuing us. Today, will we respond to Him in a way that says, there is no shadow that I won't light up. There is no mountain I won't climb up. God, I'm coming after you. It's a response to Him. There is no wall I won't kick down. There's no lie I won't tear down. God, I'm coming after you. It's one thing to feel all that reckless love from God, and it's in another to respond to Him in that same depth, in that same level. Our relationship with God is not just one way of receiving all that love, but how do we respond to tell God, I am coming after you? So today I'm going to open the altar for those who have raised up their hands for any of the things that I mentioned just now. I want to open the altar to you and invite you to respond to God, to come and tell Him yourself, to come and make a commitment to Him. The Bible says, draw near to me and I will draw near to you. So even as the worship team leads us in this song, the altar is open. You can just come up and talk to God and tell Him the desire, tell Him the yearning of your heart, tell Him the commitments that you want to make for Him.
There is a longing only you can fill, a raging tempest only you can still. My soul is thirsting, Lord, to know you as I'm known. Drink from the river that flows before your throne.
Let this be the cry of your heart.
Take me deeper, deeper in love with you. Jesus, hold me close in your embrace.
Song to God, take me deeper in love. I want to be deeper in love with you. God is saying that to you guys as well. I want to be deeper in love with you. Let's start somewhere. Let's start somewhere. You might feel like you're far or anything, but let's start somewhere. Let's just take 3 minutes. Take some time. Tell God yourself. We won't need any leaders coming up to pray for us, because it's between us and God. Tell God today that I long to be deeper in love with you. Leaders, if you want to respond as well, feel free to come forward. Feel free to have this time to talk to God, to respond to Him. So let's just take that 3 minutes and just be with God. He's here. He's here with us.
My soul is thirsting, Lord, to know you as I'm known. Drink from the river that flows before your throne. Take me deeper, deeper in love with you. Lord Jesus, hold me close in your embrace. Take me deeper, deeper.
are baptized, we say a phrase and we say, we turn to you. And turning to God is an everyday process. In the last 6 months, God said a very heartbreaking thing to me. And I'm so busy with work sometimes, you know. And God said this, Tina, where are you? I miss you. You haven't sung to me in a long while. I miss your worship. I miss you. And His love brought me back. And I want to speak particularly to the leaders here and also core members, those who serve very, very actively. I'm not just referring to you guys, but everyone else, this is also for you. Let's close our eyes and just focus on God. Leaders, you spend a lot of time serving God. You spend a lot of time preparing. But I sense that God wants to say this one thing to some of you. And He just simply says that, I miss you. I know how much you sacrifice for me. I know how much you contend for many things sometimes. I know how you try and serve and give your best. But I miss you. I miss the fire in your eyes when you used to come to me. And the yearning of your hearts when you had that quality time with me, not caring about so many things on your plate. And I just want you to come back. And to the rest of us here, including leaders as well, as we declare that God is King, is He also King over our time, and King over our schedules, King over our practical planning, not just in the worship that we spend here, which is very good. But can we take God into our schedules, take God into your timetable, and see that He's King really over everything? Let's just take a few more moments just to repent and tell God, I'm coming back to the heart of worship with you. It's really all about you. I want to turn away. I want to turn to you. And just tell God that.
Father, today, I pray that we will live our lives living from this auditorium. We will live our lives in that level that Jesus has modeled out. That we cannot bear to live one moment or to take one breath without you in our lives. Because we want you so much, we come in the posture of Joshua to say, more, Lord, I want more of you. There can never be enough. My soul and my heart yearns for the courts of my Father. I long to be where you are. I respond to you. Can there ever be enough with a father like that? You are all designed to have that capacity of intimacy with the Father. Take it. Walk into it and live it with Him. Let's all just raise up our hands right now. Father, today I pray for all my brothers and sisters here, all your sons and daughters, that you will reveal to them, you will give them clarity on how to refine their lives, on how to refuel their oil, and to how to remain in your presence with you. Father, today you show them the practical things, the small things that they can do to come and enter into your presence. Father, in the next week to come, in the many weeks to come, may they have that heart posture of saying, whatever, Father, whatever it takes for me to be with you, I will do it. There's no shadow I won't light up. There's no mountain I won't climb up. There's no wall I won't kick down. There's no lie I won't tear down. Whatever it takes, I will do it to be where you are. Because I long to be with you as much as you long to be with me. So Father, I pray that you bless whose youth today, they have responded, they have walked towards the door and they have opened it and they have said, come Lord, come Father, let's have a meal together. They have responded. And today, you will respond, you will come into their lives, into their hearts, into their families, into their schools, and you will be with them. You will be with them in the big things, in the small things, in everything, in every day, and everywhere. Thank you, Father, for your love that initiated, that reached down to us first. And all we need to do, all we can do is to respond. We don't strive. We cannot earn it. We cannot deserve it. But we can just come and respond and come and receive the love of the Father, the intimacy of the Father. So we thank you for this time. Thank you for the sermon. We thank you for the time of worship. Thank you for the time of fellowship. And as we leave this place, may your presence wrap around us. May your presence surround us so thick wherever we go that we can feel it. That our spirit will feel it and we will be so hyped up to live for you, Jesus. Thank you, God. In Jesus' name we all pray. Amen.
Thanks for tuning in. We trust you have been blessed. For more information, check us out at www.cruise.org.sg. God bless.